Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. Deuteronomy, chapter 10. We're going to use our Bibles tonight, so we're going to read quite a few different passages before I get into the thought tonight. For 22 weeks, we talked about the topic of separation. And boy, we learned that separation is not a badge that we wear. Separation is a relationship with God. It's getting rid of things that keep us from getting closer to God in many, many different areas of our life. Now, we have switched gears. We're going into the topic of prayer. Last week, we talked about God's original intent for prayer. And that being this, prayer was originally man worked and fellowshipped with God. When man sinned, his fellowship with God was broken. He worked with God. He fellowshipped with God. That meant he had the right and access to God to ask God questions, which is prayer. When man sinned, that fellowship was broken. Man lost his desire to pray. That's why it's hard for us to pray. Now, once we get saved, the fellowship is restored, but we have that old nature still in us. We don't stop sinning just because we got saved. So we have to keep fighting that lack of desire to pray. Tonight, I want to bring a lesson that I think may be my most favorite lesson about prayer. I don't claim any greatness to this, but I think you will see a wonderful truth here. Deuteronomy chapter 10, let's look at verse number 8. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister unto him, and to bless his name unto this day. Wherefore, Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to look at the first two verses here. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offering of the Lord made by fire in his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. Now turn back to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. Since we're done with this passage, we'll turn to one other, and then I'll teach for a little while here. Numbers chapter 18, look at verse number 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi and all all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel therefore come nigh in the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Now, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 13. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua, chapter 13. We're going to look at one verse here, the very last verse of the chapter, verse 33. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. Now, look back at me. Let me catch you up here. God had chosen the Jews as his chosen people. Since the time of Abraham, when God called Abraham and said, I will make of thee a great and mighty nation. That was the time God decided that the seed of Abraham would become the Jewish race that we have today. God had prepared a land for them to inherit. It was abundantly wealthy. It was full of natural resources. And by the way, it was one of the most coveted pieces of property in history, by the way, and it still is. This little itty-bitty 8,000 square mile piece of property is one of the most unusual pieces of property in the world. It sits right at the conversion point of three continents, the only place in the world like that. Europe runs to the north, Asia runs to its east, and Africa is to its south. And they all intersect at that one little place called Israel. It's only about the third of the size of the state of West Virginia. It is about 1,000 square miles less in size than the state of Vermont. I could give it to you this way. It's about twice the size of the panhandle of West Virginia. That's all the bigger Israel is. And God said, that will be your promised land. By the way, it is one of the wealthiest nations of the world. There is more wealth at the bottom of the Dead Sea than there is in the rest of the world, probably. The end time war will be fought over the wealth that sits at the bottom of the Dead Sea. You have to understand something. When you pan for gold and when you go for gold, the gold comes from the mountains, settles down through the rivers, and settles down into the waterways down below. The Jordan River starts up north by the Sea of Galilee, and it travels all the way downhill, down through the mountains, picking up all that dirt and gold and all the mineral deposits and everything else, and it drops it in the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has no outlet. It has been settling there for millenniums at the bottom of the Dead Sea. The end time war will be when the Western powers fight and China and Russia are defeated and the Western powers win and we come back with Jesus at the Battle of Armageddon and fight against those Western powers. And we're not going to get into a big part of that right now, but I just want you to understand that's why God said it is a land that flows with milk and honey. It is very fertile. It is a very productive place. We joke often about how tight a Jew is. You've never seen a poor Jew. Say why? Because God gave them an inheritance that would last forever. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm trying to cut some things out here. This place is the place God set up for the Jews. And we read through the book of Deuteronomy in two places, the book of Numbers and the book of Joshua. When the Jews left Egypt, they were to go to the promised land and they were to divide the land up among the 12 tribes of Israel. But God said the tribe of Levi, they are not going to get a land inheritance. They were to be the priests. They were to be the ones that care for the tabernacle and the temple. And God said, I want to be their inheritance. He said, everybody else will have land. We'll split the Levites up and they'll be scattered abroad and they will live off of what the people bring to them. And he said, I will be their inheritance. Wow, what a statement. This little place called Israel. This is the very place that when we come back with Jesus and fight at the Battle of Armageddon, that is the very place that God, Jesus himself, will set up and rule and reign the earth for 1,000 years, and we will be the government workers. Oh, I can't wait. Can you imagine what we're going to tell the Democrats to do then? I'm going to make Bill Clinton join the army, amen? Well, he'll be somewhere else. He won't be able to join. But there won't be a corruption of politics because Jesus is holy. We will have already been raptured to heaven, come back as sinless, and we will have a sinless government on the face of the earth. Would to God we even had a few moments of sinless government. When God gave this land to the Jews, though, I want you to notice that statement. he said to the Levites, they'd have no inheritance. I will be their inheritance. Let me ask you a question. Can you imagine how some of those Levites may have felt? Well, I've got friends who are getting pieces of the property. I don't get anything. So all I get's God. Hello. Well, they get houses and lands, and so all we get's what the people bring us. And God said he wants to be our inheritance. Much of what we pray for is for our sakes or for people we love. And that's not a bad thing. Tonight, I want to take you to a level of thinking about prayer that's probably way beyond anything you've thought of. Have you ever thought about praying for God's sake? I call tonight's lesson prayer for God's sake. Have you ever prayed just so you could spend time with God? Not because you wanted something, not because you wanted to ask him for something, but that you just wanted to spend time with him. You see, God gave the Levites no inheritance, so they had to rely upon him. They had to go to him. He wanted to spend time with them and give them things in ways he would not give others. You know, sometimes I feel sorry for God. God made us in his image. He made us with his desires. He gave us needs that he has, and he made us to spend time with him. Then we sinned, and we don't want to go back and spend time with him. You go to Genesis chapter 3, the first thing that happened after sin was God came down to talk with man, and man hid himself, started arguing with him. Adam, where are you? I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? Because I'm naked. He said, who told you? He said, well, because I am. He said, did you eat of the tree? You know what the next statement is? Well, the woman that thou gavest me, she gave it to me. Not only did he blame his wife, but he blamed God for giving him the wife. He was not just blaming her, he was blaming God for giving him the wife. Now hang in there. Have you ever decided to spend time for God for his sake and not your own? Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you ever told God, I hope you have a good day? You say, that's different. Yeah, that's called praying for God's sake, not for your sake. We get this mentality, and boy, don't get mad at me for this, but we get to a point where we think God is the little Aladdin or genie in the bottle, and we pop the cork off on that thing once or twice a day and say, okay, now you got to give me what I'm asking for, and I'm going to tell you what I need, and then you're going back in the bottle and do what I said. God's more than able to give you anything you want. I don't think the whole purpose of prayer is for you just to get what you want. It's not even for you to get what you need. It's for you to spend time with God. You see, there's a part of prayer that we often overlook. That's God's need in the relationship. God's need in the relationship. God does not want to be used like that little genie in the bottle. He wants to spend time with you. He's not a slave. God wants to give us what we want, but he wants to spend time with us. If you give your children what they want and they never spend time with you, what are you going to do? Did you ever make your children want something a little longer so they would come back and keep asking just because they didn't spend as much time with you as you wanted? Say, oh, that's cruel. No, that's the way God does it. Now, not on everything. Let me share some thoughts with you. And I promise I'll have you out before the end of the hour here. Number one, God gave us the same feelings and emotions that he has. Did you catch that? God gave mankind the same feelings and the same emotions that he has. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. And let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. That's not just talking about the shape of your body, because guess what? All of us are shaped differently. Some tall, some short, some skinny, some round, some fuzzy, some bald, you name it. We're all shaped different. And some of us go through all those shapes all in our lifetime. Okay? Now, wait a minute. It's not the shape of the body that he's talking about. He's talking about the human being itself. And God made you with the exact same emotions he has. Let me show you what I mean. Do you know that God has wrath? Have you ever heard of the wrath of God? Guess what? He has anger. The Bible says that God got angry at the children of Israel. Hoo-hoo. These six things doth the Lord hate. He feels hatred. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. But God is also love. For God so loved the world. There's an emotion there. Do you know that God feels loneliness? You know that God feels joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, God feels sorrow. Do you know that God, listen to this statement. Do you know that God feels vengeance? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He said, you let me take care of it. I can do a better job than you can. You know, the Bible says it pleased the Lord. Guess what? He feels pleasure. The Bible says that God laughs. It even in one place in the Psalms says, he says, aha. You see, God made you with the very emotions he has. Now listen to this statement. If that is true, why? Well, God made you and made your emotions like his so you could fellowship better with him. Let's talk at a married level here. I know when my wife's in a good mood. I know when she's not in a good mood. I know when it's time to play. I know when it's not time to play. Say why? Because I understand her emotions. I know when she's having a good day. I know when it's time to put extra hours in at the office. Now, I understand that. You know, you learn each other's emotions. You know, my mom one day, before I ever got married, before I was dating my wife, long time, I may have been even in high school. I said, of course I had friends at school and most of my friends were girls, not because of that. It was just the fact that there was no spiritual guys at the school. And some of my best friends were girls, and we weren't dating. And my mom said, son, someday you're going to come home from work. Your wife's going to be sitting on the couch crying. You're going to say, what's the matter? She's going to say, I don't know, just believe her. 16, 17-year-olds didn't make sense. I'm 46-year-old. It makes all the sense in the world. She said, sometimes she's not going to know why she feels that way. She just feels that way. I said, okay. You say, do you always understand? I understand sometimes, lady, you don't understand, and it's okay, we understand, okay? Everything's good. God made your emotions so that you could fellowship better with him. Here's the problem. We have let sin control our emotions. Sin does not control God's emotions. For us to hate, we can hate sinfully. It's not wrong for God to say, these six things that the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. When I get up and say, I hate this, as long as it's a sinful thing, I'm okay. If I get up and say, I hate Brother Logue, I've just sinned. Everybody doing okay? So I can use my hatred for the wrong thing. Someday I may preach a sermon on this. The Bible says that God repented of the evil he thought to the children of Israel. Does that mean God was sinning? Evil is an alliance to destroy someone. God was getting ready to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. He said, look, I'm tired of your bickering, you're complaining, you're going back to idolatry time after time after time. I've given you chance after chance. I am going to wipe you out. And Moses went to God and said, God, you can't do that. And the Bible says God repented of the evil. Did God get saved? No. He changed his mind from destroying them to showing mercy. And that evil was not sinful, it was to literally obliterate them off the face of the earth. And as I've said before, if God and Moses ever agreed on the same day, there would not be a Jew left. Now wait a minute, our emotions are there because God gave them to us so that we can understand him better. Do you know, men, that if you'll listen to your wife's emotions, you'll understand her a little better? Ladies, what little emotion he has, if you'll listen to it, you can laugh, it's okay. You'll understand him better. You see, a lady is more motivated by her emotions. A man feels the same things you feel, we just don't let it control us. Man, there's lots of elbows flying right now, and I'm not going there. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Let me show you what I mean. Hebrews chapter 4. I am really going to get in trouble tonight, I can tell. I'm going to change points here real fast. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be, watch this, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, as we are, yet without sin. Guess what? We have an high priest, Jesus Christ, who is able to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hello. In other words, he came here and he experienced all the pain, all the emotional pain, all the feelings that you feel, and he's touchable because of that. Do you ever have a friend stab you in the back? How many people stabbed him in the back? I've had friends in the ministry stab me in the back. Jesus' assistant pastors, when it came time to stand up for him, they were cussing, swearing, and running away like roaches when you turn the light on. These are men that watched him perform every miracle. They heard every sermon he preached. They traveled everywhere with him for 3 years. And guess what? When the time came, they ran like scared rats. Don't you think he was a little disappointed? Everybody doing okay? Okay. Hanging in there. So we have a high priest who is touchable because he knows how you feel. He knows how we feel. By the way, God wants to feel needed. Do you realize that God needs to feel needed? Those of you senior citizens, you know, the hardest thing about growing older and the scariest thing is, will people need me anymore? Will my kids need me? Will my grandkids need me? Am I more than just a bank? That's honestly it. I go to the nursing homes. It's sad to watch people rot in a nursing home that nobody cares about because nobody needs them anymore. My grandma's 95, almost 96 years old. I call her every week of my life because I want her to know that her grandson still needs her. I don't know if I've kept her alive one extra day, but if I did, and I've had her an extra day, thank God for it. Say why? Because she's still needed. I don't want my mom and dad to feel unneeded. And as people need to feel needed. You say, how do you know that? I love the passage in the New Testament. Jesus is walking on the water. The disciples are on the boat. The boat's being tossed in the storm. And the Bible says that as Jesus was walking, I love this statement. It said, and he would have passed by. In other words, he didn't make a big deal of it. He was just walking across. He walked close enough to be seen, but if they didn't call for him, he was going to keep on walking. But don't you think he was kind of looking at him as he walked by? Thinking, I hope they call me. I hope they call for me, Brother Luke. Ha ha. Yeah, they called for me. They need me. And then Peter opens his big fat mouth. If you be the Son of God, you're some ghost. Did you ever notice he always goes to this ghost routine? It's hilarious. You see, he wanted to be needed. He longed to be needed. I was listening to a sermon of Brother Hiles' this week. I listened to a lot of his older sermons, and I happened to be listening to one, and he mentioned my name in it. It's kind of like, oh yeah, I remember that. He was yelling at, being screaming at me today on a tape, and he was talking about Mrs. Hiles being at Mayo Clinic, and it was New Year's Day, and I remembered. I'd gone up the day before, picked him up at O'Hare Field, New Year's Eve, drove him back. We had the New Year's Eve service at the church that night. And he said, oh, I got to go back tomorrow. I'm flying up again tomorrow. And I said, Brother Hiles, how are you getting back to the airport? He said, oh, I'm just going to take a cab. I'll get on the bus and go. I said, no, sir. I said, would you please let me take you? He said, oh, Craig, no. You got a family. You got young children. I said, when are you flying out? He said, early in the morning. I said, would you please let me come? Oh, no. You don't need to do. I said, preacher, I said, with all the respect I know how to say, will you shut up and listen to me? And he looked at me, raised those big old bushy eyebrows at me and said, I would love to do this. My kids are going to be sleeping because they're going to be up till after midnight because of the service. I said, why not? I said, will you please let me do something I enjoy doing? I knew how to get through to him when I said that. He said, you sure? Well, you check with your wife. I said, I don't need to check with my wife. She'll be sleeping too. It's okay. I said, everything's fine. He said, you sure? I said, I'm sure. And he let me do it. Say, what was he doing? He didn't want to impose himself. He just wanted to be needed. I love that. Number two, God may allow struggles and problems so that we will spend extra time with him. Number one, we have the emotions that God has so that we can relate to him better. Number two, God may allow struggles and problems so that we will spend extra time with him. If you get so busy in life that you forget him, he may allow a struggle to come so that you'll come back to him. A few weeks ago, the boys were working on one of my boys' cars before they left for college. I'm just not a mechanic, but I know a little bit more than I let on. They were trying to take a big part off. One of them came in and said, I just can't get this. Dad, who do I need to call? So I had them call Brother Rick. They called Brother Hess. He gave them some ideas and stuff, and they were trying to get tools. I picked up a tool from somebody at 7 o'clock in the morning. I met them somewhere and picked it up. They tried again all the next day. I came home from work, went down, sat in my chair. They're out there banging knuckles, busting heads, getting frustrated. Say, what'd you do? Nothing. They didn't ask for my help. Finally, one of them came in. I said, how's it going? Horrible. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I don't know. You want to come look at it? Sure. I went out and looked. I said, not going to come off that way. I said, I think you got to take this off to do it. No. You don't have to do that. Okay. I came back in, got my iPhone. I Googled how to get that part off. It's exactly what I thought it was. I showed them on my phone. They said, no, there's got to be another way. After 2 days, they couldn't fix it. They put it all back together. They took it to a shop. The shop did it exactly the way I told them they had to do it. Cost them $160, not me. Now, wait a minute. I wasn't going to force my way on it. Say, did you get out there and bust knuckle? I wasn't going to bust nothing. I was letting them struggle till they needed me. If they didn't want to listen to it, that's their problem, not mine. Can I tell you something? That's how God works. Everybody doing okay? All right. If the only time you visit God is when you have a problem or a need, guess what? He'll give you more problems and more needs so that you'll spend more time with him. You say, I don't like that. Then if you'll spend time with him when you don't have a problem, maybe you'll have fewer problems. God will not stop the sowing and reaping process of our sin. Folks, we're going to have problems because of sin. Brother Taylor and I were talking, you know, I'm feeling battle scars from 30 years ago. Arthritis here, problem there. You're going to reap those problems just because of sin. But there are some problems God may keep you from if you'll spend time with him. If the only time you talk to God is in life and death situations, I feel sorry for you. The only time you talk to God is when you need something, I feel sorry for you. If the only time I ever talked to my dad is when I had to have something from him or I was going to fall apart, guess what? That's not a good father-son relationship. And God says, I want to be your father and you are my children. And we ought to have that close-knit relationship. Boy, that's good stuff. Sometimes God wants to show us how big and capable he is. Did you ever, when your kids were little, let them struggle and 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 struggle until they came to you and said, I just can't do it. You say, watch me do this. Just to show off. Y'all know what I'm talking about, dads. Say, why? Because you wanted to show them how big and capable you were of doing something. Say, why? Because you needed to build that respect with your son or with your daughter. And you needed them to understand dad knows and can do a whole lot more than you can do. And it's better to get help before than to struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. Sometimes God will allow that so that he can show you how big he really is. Number next, and I'll finish. This is maybe the most important point. We may get more prayer answered if we worked on our relationship with God more than we worked on the object we want. Did you hear that? You may have more answers to prayer if you worked on your relationship with God more than asking him for what you want or what you think you need. Boy, that's big stuff. People who are close to us get help first. A church... I'm sorry to say it this way. A church becomes a welfare agency to the world. Everybody in the world that needs help comes here. Matter of fact, there's churches in the area that give them our phone number and call, ask for me. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Now, I work pretty hard at making sure you all are cared for. Before I pay somebody else's electric bill, I'm going to make sure everybody in our church has theirs cared for. Before I get somebody else food, I'm going to make sure somebody in my church isn't needing food right now. Say why? Because I'll help you before I help anybody. I believe that's God's way of doing things. Now, we do help other people. But I also have been in the ministry long enough to know there's a racket out there for this. Recently, my secretary and I, through a series of events, help somebody. Well, a couple weeks later, somebody came by. They said, you helped a family member of mine. Would you help us? My antenna went up. I said, I'll see. Give me 48 hours here and let me see what's available. Say, why? Because I needed to check with my secretary to find out what this whole story was. Come to find out, we had already helped that family through the person we helped with the first time, and they're coming back for more. Guess what? They didn't get any more help. Say, why? Because they're bad people? No, but I'm not playing that game. I'll help people here first. Everybody doing okay? Guess what? God's going to help you as his children and those that are closest to him first. That doesn't mean he's not going to help his children that aren't distant. But you answer me. If you've got more than one child, and you've got one that stays close and has been doing real well and hanging in there, and then you've got another one that you haven't talked to in 20 years, the one that calls after 20 years and says, look, I need help. Now, you may try to help them some, but that one that's been living right and doing right and been helping you all along, and they call and say, I need help, which is the first one you're going to help? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. You were given the same emotions God has. Why would he think any differently? So if we will work on that relationship with him, boy, this is rich. If we will work on that relationship with him more than, God, I have got to have this. God, I've got to have this. God, I've got to have this. Some people get so upset at God because they didn't get what they wanted that they turn their back on God and say, okay, you didn't give me what I want, so I'll never talk to you again. Boy, take your toys and go home. That's big boy stuff. Isn't that the way people are? And I'm going to bring it down to where we live here. I've watched couples lose a baby, get mad at God, and turn on God because they lost a baby. How do they know that God was not doing them mercy? What if that child was born and afflicted and had cancer for about 15 years of its life? They had to watch that child rot away with cancer. Could it not be that God was sparing them worse pain? Oh no, you took my child. I'm mad at you. Never darken the door of a church again. Problem is, they didn't have a relationship with their God. When you get a relationship with your God, the object becomes obsolete. Boy, that's good stuff. God does not want treated like Google, where you dial in what you want, find the answer, and get it. That was a 21st century statement, amen? You ought to be proud of that. I worked hard at that. Now, wait a minute. Most of you look at God like you would Google. Where do I find this? Okay, come on. Where's the answer? Where's the answer? Where's the answer? This thing's so slow. That's not what God wants. Does God want to give you what you want? Yes, but he wants you. And if you will get God, the object becomes obsolete. Boy, that's good stuff. God made you the way you are to fill a need he has. I have three children, Larry, Curly, and Mo. That was pretty good, wasn't it? But one of them's a stoojet. But I have three children. I love all three of my children. But guess what? All three of them are totally different. I mean, totally different. There's not one that's even close to the other. They all three have totally different talents, temperaments, the way they think. Every bit of it. Say why? Because God makes people individually to fill a need. Guess what? My daughter fills a need that her two brothers cannot fill to their dad. But my oldest son fills a need that she can't fill. My son Jeff fills a need that neither of them can fill. Say why? Because they're all three unique to my wife and I. We love them equally, but we love them differently because they all three fill different needs in our lives. Boy, that's good stuff. When you don't spend time with your God, God goes needy without having his needs met. So, God did not give the Levites a portion of the land because he wanted to meet all they needed and give them more than what they knew they wanted. He said to the tribe of Levi, "You're my servants. You're my special ones. You're the ones taking care of my house for me. And I'll take care of you in a special way. No, you're not going to get any land, but you're going to get me. I'll give you stuff they'll never find. I'll give you things in a way they could never get." I was out working in my yard one day. My neighbor came out. I was digging in the dirt, and I was up to my shoulders in dirt and stinky, sweaty. We were talking about the church. She said, "Oh, you're a preacher." They had just moved in not long before then. I said, "I am." They said, "How's the pay?" I said, "Well, the paychecks aren't real big, but my retirement benefits are out of this world." And I just looked up. And she went, "Oh. Oh." And then off she went. Now, wait a minute. That's called the relationship. You know, what an honor to want God for a relationship more than to want the things he can give you. I've said this before. I love my mom and dad. I don't care if they go to heaven and they don't leave me one little thing. I'd rather have them than their things. Period. I want their Bibles. That's it. Past that, my brother can have it all. I don't care. Say why? Because I want them. I mean that. I don't care if I get nothing. You say, "Yeah, you do." No, I don't. I'd rather have the relationship my mom and dad and I have than have anything in the world that they have. Nothing. There's not one, well, maybe one of my dad's guns. No, I'm serious. They can take it all. I've told my dad, "I hope you spend it all. You've earned it all. You have the right to spend it all. Spend it and enjoy your senior years. Enjoy it." We tease about it from time to time, and we joke about it here and there, but I don't care about the things. I want them. I want them. Guess what? I want God. I hope when you pray, you'll build a relationship with your God. I hope someday you'll say, "God, I want you to have a good day today. God, what could I do to help you have a good day today? Oh, I could read your book. Oh, I could obey you. Oh, I could go tell somebody else about you. Oh, I could do this. Oh, I could do that. Oh, God, I could do this." As I walked into the Sheets gas station this morning and there was a little lady there crying. She'd lost two family members in about 5 weeks. And I said, "How's it going this morning?" She said, "Not too good." She said, "I was wondering if you're coming this morning." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Remember the last time you prayed for me?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Could you do it again?" I said, "Yeah, I'd be glad to." He, he, he. One of these days she's going to pray. Talk to her God. I'm waiting for the right opportunity. You know, when you got bosses breathing down your neck there, it's not a good time to pull out the Bible and go soul winning because she's going to get in trouble. But I'm going to get her. You know, it's time that the people of Grace Baptist Church decide that when they pray, it'll be for more than just rubbing the bottle to get the genie to pop out to give them what they want. That they want a relationship with their God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a desire to pray for God's sake? You were created in his image to spend time with him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. Just take a moment and spend time with your God, for his sake, not for what you want.